The title of my message is loving the word of God, or loving God's word. Okay. I want to speak to you, and I want to begin by asking you that question seriously. You know, to some this may seem to be an unnecessary question. Do you really love the Bible and value it? You know, what we love isn't proven by saying we love whatever, but by what we do. That really is the proof. I want you to turn in your Bible tonight with me, please, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, we have Luke's version of what is called the sower's parable. Find Luke chapter 8. And I want to turn your attention as we begin to verse 18. Because Jesus has just explained what that parable of the sower was about. And in verse 18, he gives this warning. He says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Now, that's interesting to me, because Jesus is cautioning us to pay attention not only to what the Word of God says, but how we hear God's word. He's warning us to honestly evaluate our attitude toward the Bible. Say, oh, come on, you know, I have a Bible, I read my Bible. Yeah. We show how much we value the word of God by how we hear it. That's what Jesus is saying in this verse. How seriously do we take the Bible? I mean, when you read it yourself, or when you listen to it, or when you hear it preached, how seriously do we take the Bible? This is what the sower's parable really is all about. Do you love the Bible? Do you really value it? I'm going to begin by answering this question first of all. Why should I love a book? Why should I love the Bible? It's a book. And sometimes people that are Bible believers and speak of their love for the Bible are alluded to as being idolaters. You're making an idol out of a book. Let's have a word of prayer, boys, and then let's look into God's word together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for the book, this book of books, the Bible. And I pray that you might touch our hearts and grab our attention. Lord, we're talking about not just hearing God's word, but our attitude towards it. Do we have a cavalier attitude? Do we have an attitude, oh, yeah, just another message from the Bible, no big deal, I know this, I've heard this. Lord, give us a real, genuine love for your word. Give us a love for your word. Help us to truly value it and not just parrot words that make us sound as if we care about it. Help us to really care about it. Lord, speak to our hearts, that in the end, our lives might really bring you glory. Not that we have a head full of Bible knowledge, but that you might be honored by the way in which we handle your word and value your word. Esteem it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So why should I love a book? Why should I love the Bible? I'll tell you why. Because you love its author. You love the author of this book. Let me give you an illustration. Now, this might sound strange to some of you younger ones here tonight, but there was a time long before email, long before texting, we used to sit down with something called a piece of paper. and an instrument called a pen. And we would sit down and we would take that pen and click it, and it had ink in it, and we would then write on a piece of paper. We would write letters. And when we were young and in love, we would write love letters. I've written a lot of love letters. I remember waiting when my wife and I, we were engaged, but she was, I think, on a mission team one summer, and I was working. We were 1,000 miles apart. I remember just waiting for her letters every week to come into my mailbox. And when I got one, I would not just read it. I would reread it. I would read it over and over again. I'd devour it. You know, I would devour that letter because you know what I was doing? I was looking for juicy love morsels to feed my love-hungry soul because I loved her. And I wanted to find anything in that letter that she sent me that would in some way express her love for me. I'd find it, and then I'd think about it, and it would energize my love for her more. This book is God's love letter to you and I. It really is. When you search the scriptures, you should be seeking the lover of your soul. You should be seeking the author of this book and not just to fill your head with some type of Bible knowledge. I mean, Bible knowledge is good. I'm not knocking that. It's important that you understand the Bible and the structure of it and that you study it. But you want to know the author because that's the reason he wrote this book to you. Because he loves you and he wants to be in a close, we would say today, hot love relationship with you. He wants you to know him intimately. You want to find out all you can about the person that you love. You want to find out what he's like. You want to find out how he thinks. I'm talking about God. You want to find out what he desires. What he says about you, what he has to say to you, what makes him happy, what pleases him, what is it that disappoints him, this one that I love, or makes him sad? What does he do, and how can I make him more a part of my life? When you read the Bible that way, you'll discover what God wants, and what you'll discover that God wants more than anything else from you is he wants you. And then, once he has you, he wants to partner with you. He wants you to partner with him, I should say. He wants you to be a part of his life. That's why you should love the Bible, which is a book, because you love the author. Here's a second question that I want to answer based upon what Jesus says here. And this is where we'll actually get into the parable of the sower. How much do I love the Bible? I ask you that question. Do you really love the Bible? Do you really value it? Because that's what Jesus is getting at here in the parable. How much do you? How can you gauge that? Well, let's look at what Jesus says. Drop into chapter 8 of Luke's gospel, verse 12. Here's the parable explained. The seed that falls by the wayside. Here's what he says. Those by the wayside, verse 12, are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. These are people that hear the Bible, you ready? Callously. Callously. they are really not open to it. They're closed to the Bible whenever they hear it. They're really disinterested in the Bible because they don't really believe it. And so they fail to see the value, any value in the Word of God. They don't think that the Bible's necessary for their life. They're callous towards God's Word. They hear it callously. Though they know they should, there are some Christians that don't read the Bible because they really don't care about getting anything from it. If you barely crack the Bible, you don't love it. You don't value it. You don't see it as holding a very important place in your life. You may view the Bible, even as a believer, callously. There's a second attitude toward the Bible that measures whether we love it or not. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Here is that seed that fell upon a rock, Means bedrock, you know. There's a little thin layer of soil underneath a solid rock. You don't get deep roots. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away, or time of trial fall away. This is what I would call an attitude of hearing God's word, not callously, but casually. Hearing God's word casually. Having a loose connection with the word of God. Just reading the Bible or listening to what others say about the Bible. You know, that's one thing that I think is a danger. We put out the daily bread on a quarterly basis, or what's the other one called? The days of praise. We put that out. And I always give this little disclaimer. I say, now don't depend upon that for your devotional life. That's just a supplement. If everything you get from the Bible is from what someone else has said about it, you don't value the Bible. You don't really value it. You see, God wants to give you something personally, and he will if you really want it bad enough. It's possible to be a believer and just have a casual attitude toward the scripture. Here are people that at first, they gobble it up, but they lose their connection with it quickly. It's canceled by external pressures that come into their life. Does stress at times spoil your appetite for the Word of God? If you have irregular time in the Bible, irregular Bible time, trials are going to eat you up and even plant a bitter spirit in your heart toward God. The idea is, if you are just a casual listener to the Word of God, a casual reader of the Word of God, when the trials come, you're going to back off from the Word. But that's the worst thing. That's the totally wrong move. You should dive into it. You should dig into it. Do you really love the Word of God? You can look at it callously or casually. Look at verse 14. This is the seed that fell among thorns. Verse 14. And they that fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection or maturity. You ever see a fruit vine or a tomato vine that maybe you get a whole bunch of tomatoes on it, but they never get big? I'm not talking about cherry tomatoes. I mean, you know, the real tomatoes, but they never really develop. That's the picture here. And the thorns choke out the life. That's why. Here's the third way that some people treat the Bible or look at the Bible. Don't really love the Bible. Don't value it. They read it competitively. Competitively, that is, there's a whole bunch of other things going on, and it gets crowded out in their life. The Bible takes the back seat in their life. They get distracted by competitive interests that they might have or competing things for their time, things that they have to do. Look, if you're too busy for time with God and the Bible, then your life's messed up. Is that blunt enough? If you're too busy for time spent in the Bible, you're messed up in your life as a Christian. It's simple as that. It's plain as that. Because there is, listen to me, there is nothing in your life that is more important than an open heart before an open Bible in God's presence. And if you love the Bible, you won't rob God or yourself of time in His Word, time with Him. Competitively. So many things are crying out for our attention. And isn't it interesting how tempting it is when we're reading the Bible to have our minds wander? You know, I find that every morning when I'm reading the Bible, I start thinking about other things when I'm reading it. And all of a sudden, I've gone through maybe 10 verses, and I say to myself, wait a minute, what was that about? I didn't, and I have to go back and reread it this time. And you know, the things that I'm thinking about aren't bad things, but they're pulling my attention away from the Bible. And so I go back again. And if it happens a second time, I go back the third time because I don't want to miss what God has for me. Competitively, sometimes that's not loving and valuing God's word. Well, here's something that I believe really shows you love and value God's word. Look at verse 15. This is the seed that fell on good ground explained. Here's what he says. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That is hearing God's word correctly. That is cherishing, embracing, clinging to God's word, rereading it over and over and scouring it for those juicy morsels that you can sink your spiritual teeth into and it will nourish your soul. Find something in that Bible that you can think about. And it will then let it energize your life. Apply it. Let it give you spiritual strength to live on that day. I don't think you really value the Bible if you don't read it correctly like this. I think you should write down every time God gives you something. I mean, if it's valuable, don't you want to put it in the bank? Don't you want to keep it? Don't you want to preserve it? I don't think that if you seriously love the Bible and treasure it, I don't think that you'll ever sit down to read the Bible without a notebook and a pen and record what the Spirit of God gives you. Okay, so maybe you put it on a note on your phone, but you have a permanent record of what God told you, what He showed you, because you value it. The last question I want to answer, do you love the Word of God? Is this. Okay, so what shows that I love the Bible? Well, there are several things. I don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but I want to quickly point out several things in the chapter here that shows whether you really love the Bible. The first thing is in that 15th verse, and I think you see it there, it's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. He says that the seed that fell on good ground, it's people in an honest and good heart, hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience, with endurance. They keep on bringing forth fruit. Fruitfulness shows that I love it. When fruitfulness appears in my life, it shows I love it. When hearing the Bible correctly, you agree with it, you ask God to make that a reality, what he just showed you in that word, you ask him to make that a reality in your life, you take what God offers to you in the Bible, and God's life becomes evident and apparent, and it bursts forth through your life. That's fruitfulness. It changes you as you submit to it, as you take hold of it. Quickly, verses 16 and 17, here's a second way that shows whether you love the Bible or not. It says in verse 16, no man, when he lights a candle, covers it with a vessel, puts it under a bed, but rather sets it on a lampstand, on a candlestick, and that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You know what this is about? This is about not fruitfulness, but witness. Witness. How do I know I love the Bible? Because my life becomes a public witness. It becomes an open, transparent, unhypocritical life before other people. What you see is what you get. This is what I am. This is who I am. This is what I am. You see it. It's open. It's untransparent. It's unhypocritical. It shows I'm a witness for the Lord. I don't have to force it. I don't try to be anything but what I am. It just happens. Because I love the Bible, you will be a witness. And then verse 21, here's another way that shows whether we love the Bible or not. Verse 21, his mother and his brothers are there, and it was told Jesus, hey, your mother and your brothers are want to see you. Here's what Jesus says, verse 21, look at it. My mother, my brothers are these which hear the word of God and do it. You know what shows that you love the Bible? Submission, submissiveness, fruitfulness, witness, submissiveness. That is obedience. You listen with a heart to obey. You listen with a desire to obey because you depend upon the Spirit of God in you to enable you to obey. Submissiveness shows whether you love the Bible or not. You're submissive to God. And then quickly, one other thing I'm going to mention. Verse 25. But look at the story. Remember the story? They're in a storm. They get into a ship, and they get out. They want to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so they get out in the middle, and all of a sudden, this terrible storm comes up. This wind starts whipping. And the boat is filled with water. And guess what? Jesus is asleep. And so they wake him up. And he gets up and he rebukes the wind, and all of a sudden everything stops and there's a perfect calm. And look at what Jesus says to them in verse 25. He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? You know what shows whether you love the Bible or not? There is a sureness in your life. There is a confidence in your life. There is faith evident in your life. There is a God dependence revealed in your life that shows that you truly love the Bible, especially in rough waters when you feel you may be sinking and you begin to doubt? Well, the Word of God strengthens your faith. You become God dependent. God dependence is the only way to experience His peace. You know, there's a woman later on in this chapter that comes to Jesus, and she tries to sneak and just touch the hem of His garment, you know, because the Jewish people had that belief that if you just touch Messiah's tzitzit, the little tassels on the bottom of His robe, you'd be healed, whatever. Well, this is the woman that had that issue of blood, right? And so she grabs hold of the tzitzit, the hem of His garment, and boy, she's immediately healed after 12 years of just having this issue of blood. And Jesus stops because He senses healing power went out from Him. And He makes her identify herself, and she is scared. And He says to her in verse 48, this chapter, He says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And then I love these last three words: "Go in peace." Go in peace. Literally, you know what Jesus is telling her? Go into peace. You know how you go into peace? By faith. You believe what Jesus says. You believe what the Bible says. And when you believe what the Bible says, no matter what is your problem, you go into peace. You go into that spiritual atmosphere of peace. The peace that Jesus gives is unlike the world. It's a peace totally unlike the world. "My peace give I unto thee," John 14:27. You receive the Word of God believingly. This is all evidence that you love the Bible. I'll never forget a dear old black woman in a nursing home that I preached in many years ago. Each time I spoke there, she would always make it her point to thank me because she said, "I love the Bible." Never failed. Every time, she always said that to me. "I love the Bible." I believe she really did. Do you love the Bible? It's easy to say. Do you love the Bible? Is your life fruitful? Is there fruitfulness? Does your life accurately reflect the truth of God's Word? Are you submissive to God and to His will revealed in the Bible? Do you regularly experience God's overwhelming presence and peace in your heart, regardless of what the circumstances are? That's it. That's what Jesus meant when He applied that sower's parable by that warning: "Take heed, therefore, how you hear the word." Don't just hear it callously or casually or competitively, but hear it correctly.